When you go to Champions League again, Mark?
Oi, oi. Let me tell you, Atletico are going to rip you to shreds, right? So just wind it in. But you know what? I can't complain. Like, I'm in the Europa. I'll be watching Sunday football forever.
It's not so bad there, mate. It's not so bad there.
Listen, no, I'm pretty confident Sociedad will do us. So the sooner we, if we get out early, then I can just park Europe and concentrate on getting into the Champions League again and then getting knocked out again back into the Europa. That's pretty much the way the cycle's going to run.
I hear it. All right. This is the Football Fans Podcast with me, Jordan, your host here. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Tell a friend, share, leave a rating, all that good stuff, and follow us across all of our socials as well. Right. This week on the pod, I'm a fair man. So I thought it was only right that if I'm going to chuck it, if I'm going to give it, if I'm going to, you know, write off a man, it's only fair that when a man is seemingly proving me wrong, I give credit. And I thought this was a really good week to do a show on Jose Mourinho and ask a question, really. Were people like me wrong to completely write him off? And by write him off, I'm talking about making him a manager that could still win top honours within the game. And we're seeing that Tottenham are joint top still, I believe, if not top two.
Jude, can I just ask a quick question?
Of course you can.
Like, you're basically saying in a week when, you know, Jose's doing well that you did dedicate a show, but isn't there another narrative for the week? A certain Arsenal getting packed out right, left and centre.
I mean, we could just copy and paste. We can copy and paste two shows ago and just put that out. If you know what I mean? I don't know what to say.
You know what? I'd love to copy and paste the first pod that we did when Tata was on it and you were giving it the biggin and people were asking you, begging you to just calm down.
I didn't give you the biggin. I just said we'd come top four.
Do you remember the argument, Marv, me and him had? You remember the argument?
Mate, how can I forget it? I was pissed I didn't have it.
I think giving it the big gun is a stretch. I didn't give it the big gun. I made a statement, and then that was it. Anyway, this is not Arsenal week.
I wanted your listeners to know that we're aware of the fact that
I'm swerving us.
Ain't going on right now, right? Because getting beat by Burnley at home is not insignificant, in my opinion. But you know,
for the record, I think you'll be gone by the new year. I wouldn't sack him, but I think you'll be gone by January.
My pockets will be £50 heavier.
What was the bet? Lampard before Arteta?
Yeah.
That's incredible talk, though, Jordy. What are we talking then? Where are we now? We're in September, yeah? So when you're saying, in the course of what? In the course of, like, 3 months, yeah?
I mean, you've gone from
this guy will finish, will take Arsenal back into the top four to he'll be gone by
well, the second part
that is incredible.
The second thing you said is just me narrating what I think is going to happen. I don't listen, I would sack him. I'm just saying if we lose it tomorrow, I think he's gone next week. That's what I think. Yeah. I don't know what to say. Wow. Anyway,
Can I also pull you up? Yeah. When you say Spurs are joint top, no, they're not. They're top, Jord. They're top. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
When Man City won the league, yeah, Aguero, all that foolishness, yeah. Was that just that? What did Man United? Did they share the league with Man United that year? Did they share it or did they win it?
I mean,
you're getting real punchy now, aren't you?
No, I'm just asking.
And to be fair, it's probably slackness on my part in check the table, but I genuinely didn't know if you were top, second, joint.
They're top by 5 goals. So
so they are joint top then.
Listen, don't he clearly wants this one.
They're top.
It's not worth going to.
Let me retract. Marv, no, because he's right. He's right.
How often the Tottenham? How often do you ever see Tottenham at the top of the league? I've got to read this for as long as I can.
I'm going to retract it. Let me start again. Tottenham being top of the league, the Premier League.
Thank you very much.
Fair.
I hear you. I hear you.
Fair. No. Ollie's right. So I want to talk this week about Jose Mourinho, and I've got the three people I think are probably, for different reasons, best suited to give an unbiased and balanced, well, Jesus as well, but unbalanced and biased view on Mourinho. I've got Gabriel, the Chelsea fan, who's going to play the role of the long-suffering wife of 25 years, this person. Great times, great years, built a family, but then it just went really badly wrong. He had an affair. The affair was Marvin, Manchester United fan, that, you know, took G's wife. Jose thought it was better on the other side. It didn't quite work out because that wasn't really a ting either. And I've also got Ollie, the Spurs fan, who's the nice new young ting on the block. Jose's realised that he can't get a proper woman, but, you know, like, you know what? This ting's banging. This ting's packing. I'm an old man now. Let me try a ting. And it's working really well. So I've got all three elements of the Jose loving, if you like, for the last 10 years, if you like, in the Premier League time. So I'm going to ask you, Marvin, do you believe that Jose Mourinho is still capable of winning a top honour in a top league? Or do you think that this will all come crashing down and he will revert to type between now and, well, I think it'll be June, isn't it? We're a month delayed.
First of all, I didn't like that setup at all, that narrative about the girlfriend. It was all BS. And he banged a few things between me and G as well. I just want to be clear on that. He didn't just come from Chelsea straight to our door. I just want to be very clear on that. The question's a bit of a loaded one, George. Can he win it? Is he capable of it? Of course he's capable of it. You've seen it in the league this year. It's very topsy-turvy. No one can call it. So can Jose win it? Yes. Do I think he'll win it? No. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, the one thing I'll say about your analogy is, if you use a girl analogy, like, he's got breasts and he's got a bumper in Kane and Son. Other than that, there's nothing there, right? There's no brain, intelligence, there's nothing. There's just breast and bum in Kane and Son, right? So let's just be very clear what we're dealing with, because one of those go down, as you saw last season, and Jose's got problems. But fair play to him, fair play to Spurs. Great start. Gone and got big results against big teams. Made them very hard to beat. Am I jealous? Absolutely not. I mean, do I want Ole? Am I comparing Jose to Ole? Absolutely not. But do I want Jose back? The answer is no.
G, he had his most successful period in this country with your good self. Do you think Jose can still lift a Premier League or a Champions League again in his career?
I think if he's going to do it, it'll be this year. I think when people wrote Jose off and said that his time is in the past, I think there was a fair basis for it if you looked at the way football was going. This has been a really strange year with a congestion of fixtures, and I just think the way he sets up his team and the way he plays not to get beat and not to have a lot of goals against is actually working for him in a year where the fixtures are more congested than ever before, without the fans, and there's been like the flip of like the home advantage hasn't been so prevalent. So with all of those things, I think it's a combination of him kind of sticking to his tactics, but it also been a bit of a weird year in Liverpool, kind of popping up with some injuries, and City as well. So I think he can win a league, but it would need to be this year. And I think if he doesn't do it this year, he probably won't do it.
So, Ollie, G and Marvin seem to be implying basically that you're only going to win the title this year by default, because in another year, you're going to get the title. George,
we didn't say default, right?
Like, no, but you're implying that in a normal year, inverted commas, Spurs have no chance.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a topsy-turvy season, so anything can happen. And if I'm saying anything can happen, then surely the team that's currently, in Ollie's words, in first position, have a chance of doing it. Not, but I'm just saying this is a season where nobody can call it. Are Spurs in the mix? Absolutely, right? But we'll have to see. Ollie's clinging on to first place because I think deep down he knows that come the new year, that might not be the case. So fair play to him, but it could very well be the case, right? We'll have to see. I mean, I think nobody in the league is playing better football than Spurs. And I don't think anybody's taken more scalps than Spurs. But even Arsenal have some good, like, August to December. Things change really rapidly. You know what the season's like, right? So we'll see.
So Ollie, I'm assuming Jose is the single biggest factor as you think why you're where you are right now. Do you expect him to, at the bare minimum, come 6 games to go, still be in the title race?
It's still hard to say, because the thing is that there's so many teams within touching distance of Tottenham at the moment that it's hard to say who's gonna kind of race away from the pack and then make it a title race between them and whoever. I mean, I think Liverpool are going to be up there. I think Liverpool are still the favourites. But yeah, you know, even Man United could still come into it. You know, they're not far off with a game in hand. They could come into it at some point. You know, Marv's pulling a face, but you know, the truth is that even Ole went on a run last season. They had an incredible run last season, Man United, towards the end of the season to finish
third. The thing is, Oz, you're looking at numbers and points. I'm looking at quality of football. And points, yeah, they, you know, we're where we are. But based on what I've seen, it's only a matter of time, just as much as we can go on a run where we won't be picking up points in like 3-4 games. So I just know, based on the quality I'm seeing, there's absolutely no way Man United win the league this year. Absolutely no way. I'd put everybody above us right now, apart from one.
But no, I think Mourinho has been, he's been the distance. He knows what it takes. He knows it's important as well to create a team who can defend, and they know how to get results or to eke a result out when they're not playing well. What I will say is that the game against Palace showed, we saw the ugly side of Mourinho, the fact that that game there was for the taking, I thought, anyway. And, you know, Spurs, rather than go out and try and win that game and get the second goal and make it certain that they will get the 3 points, were happy to sit on the 1-goal lead. And you just sat there waiting. It was, you know, those couple of seconds before a car crash. But it was like when you know the ball, you're about to be in a crash, but there's nothing you can do about it. Palace were going to score. You knew Palace were going
to
score.
But to be fair to Jose, Oli, you could say that against City, against Arsenal, against... who else did you beat in that run? Who else did you beat? You beat somebody else. I.e., you took the lead in those games and you saw it out. So yeah. Is it unreasonable to think that take the lead against Palace, we can see it out?
But the difference was, I mean, we scored 2 against Man City. We scored 2 against Arsenal playing that way. We scored two. We didn't score against Chelsea, but we basically we had a go in the first half, and then in the second half we were quite happy to just sit there and play it out for a draw. And I just think sometimes I understand why he's doing it. I understand that it's, you know, his mindset is it's better to come out of these games with something rather than lose. I get that, but there's sometimes where you look at it and you think, well, you could win these games rather than draw. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's with Mourinho, I think that's where the problem, I can already see in the distance how it's all going to end for Mourinho at Spurs, in the fact that when things aren't going right, when things are starting to turn a bit, those sort of games are the ones that are going to turn fans off. They're just going to be... At the moment, it's going well because we're top of the league. Spurs fans aren't used to being top of the league. So people will put up with it. But when you're not at the top of the league, when you're padding around in mid-table, or you're not getting the results and the football's like this, and you're basically eking out results, or you're going to Crystal Palace and you're happy to sit on a 1-goal lead, I think fans will get tired of that. I can see the trajectory of how it ended up with Chelsea as well, where the fans were happy to begin with. But then when it got to that point where he was just doubling down on being a defensive coach, people just get tired of it, you know? But as it stands at the moment, we're top of the league. You can't complain. Whatever he's doing is working. I get what Marvin's saying about the fact that, that we haven't got more than Kane and Son. I think people seem to forget with Spurs is that they, you know, we had a really good transfer window, where, if you remember, George, you were asking me, what do you think is, you know, what do you think Spurs will finish? And I didn't want to say to you anything other than fifth or sixth. But then they suddenly went and bought Bale, they bought Reguilon, they bought, you know, to add to Højbjerg. And suddenly you thought, well, hold on a minute, this is a team. You know, this is much more, this is much more than we were expecting they were going to do in the transfer window. So from that point on, I looked at what he'd done, the business he'd done, and thought, well, actually, they could compete. And I take you back to what I've said about Jurgen Klopp as well. I've heard people like Souness going on about, oh, I don't like the way Mourinho's sides play. I have to say, wake up. A lot of people need to wake up to the fact that Liverpool play counter-attack football. Liverpool do not, you know, Liverpool used to play front foot football, pressing. That football just got them, you know, they lost results because of play. They were playing that football. You know, they went to Bournemouth. We all remember the Bournemouth game. 3-0 up with, 15, 20 minutes to go. Lost the game 4-3. Liverpool don't do that anymore. Liverpool are happy to sit back, wait for the other team to, you know, to lose the ball or to press them high and counter. And that's the thing. Liverpool play on the counter and they have a very solid defence. Mourinho's got a very solid defence. If he's learned one thing about this league, you need to be able to defend properly to win titles. And even Wenger, in his heyday at Arsenal, the first couple of years, he relied on that back four. Everyone talks about Vieira and Bergkamp and this player and that player. But the solid base of that Arsenal team when Wenger first came was that back four. So I think that Mourinho understands you've got to have a solid back four, a back four that basically, if you don't let many goals in, you've always got a chance of nicking a game 1-0. And that's the way the league works. So I think he understands the league. If we're up there in February time, then he's got just as much chance of any other manager of seeing it out. Yeah, so I think that he can do it. And given Liverpool's injuries this season, he can take it all the way. But we need to, for certain things to go their way. And what I will agree with Marvin is that I think that there will come a time where you can't keep relying on Kane and Son. That's where Bale needs to step up. Because if Bale doesn't step up, I think Spurs could well run out of steam. Because they need to have, just like Liverpool do, basically. If you look at Liverpool's team, a solid defence, three workers in the midfield. There's no beauty in that midfield of Liverpool, none whatsoever. They got three workers in midfield, but up front, they got three players who can win them games. And I think you need three players. If they've got Kane and Son plus Bale, Spurs have got a chance. But if Bale doesn't kick into gear for the second half of the season, I think Spurs will run out of steam.
I actually think he will. I think Jose's playing it quite well with Bale. I think he sees Bale, I think, as a secret weapon for the second half of the season. So I think playing two up top and having Bale as an impact player for now, I think is the right thing to do. But I want to go back, G, to when Jose was doing punditry for Sky Sports. And I remember everybody, you know, he had a bit of a smile on his face. He didn't want to be there, I don't think, but he needed work. Yeah. He needed to advertise himself. And then I remember when he got the job at Tottenham. And I referred to this before, and everyone kind of referred to he's got a spring in his step, and he's had a haircut, and he's had a shave, and he's smiling again. And everyone kind of bought into that bullshit. And I just thought, this is not, why are we buying into this? I thought he was done. He was just done, and Spurs was his level. Do you think that he went away in that time where he was off and out of work and thought about how to change his game as a manager to compete with the likes of Pep and Klopp? Or do you think, as I personally think, that the situations of this year and COVID has come back round to his way of playing football, i.e., you know, minimal running, be solid, and you've got two killers up top? Because in a condensed season this year, the more games you have, the more work you do with your players, the more injuries you're going to pick up.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the second. That I can't see that he's changed. I mean, people talk about like him being jovial. Yeah, he's a showman. Sometimes he can put on the show. You know, when you watch the Amazon documentary, you'd think he was the nicest guy in the world. You know what I mean? Like, he's good at putting on the show. But I don't fall for that either way in terms of whether he's happy or not. But I think his ethics and his, I don't know, philosophy, you would say loosely, around football, I don't think has actually changed. And I think that's where the problem will creep in. And Ollie talked about the fans having problems with it. I think eventually the players have problems with it. At the moment,
you've got Son and Kane actually quite willing to run around and not have the ball. But the minute you start losing games, or the minute things don't go well, or even the minute you win, and then you think, okay, we should be pushing on now, we're the champions, and you still want to play like an underdog, eventually, I don't think any top-class players don't want to play like that in the long term. And that's always been Jose's problem, really, in terms of maintaining relationships with those real elite players who want to be expressive. And he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be able to keep them happy. So I think eventually, I mean, Kane and Son, he might not lose them to injury, but he might lose them to Kane. I don't know if Kane wants to just stand in the middle of the park and play through ball to Son every single game or every single time.
Are you talking this year or next year if they're champions?
It could even happen this year. I think if they get into a good position where they're top of the league this year and they can see a goal and objective, I think they'll stick with it. But I think the minute something goes wrong, then it's like, well, why are we playing like this? Why don't we try and pull it on teams? Why don't we try and beat Palace rather than draw? Mm. And then it unravels. It only works whilst you're winning. When you have a good feeling and while you're winning, it's fine. But it's not long-term or sustainable. So to answer your question, no, I don't think he's gone away and thought about it. I think he might have some success with it, but I think the downfall is inevitable, as it always is through all his clubs.
I think
the circumstances have to be right with Mourinho. Just to add to what G's saying, in that Jose works in certain situations. So when he went to Chelsea were a club who were desperate to win stuff. You know, you'd had many years where you'd been up there but never quite made it, you know, and then Jose came along and got you over the line. Mm. And that's where he works best. You know, he works best at clubs where you've got players who are hungry to win something, they're hungry to achieve, and he can go in there and say, stick, you know, do what I'm telling you and you'll be winners, you know. And I think that's what he did at Chelsea. Mm. And he's got people in Kane and Son that for all the years they've been at Spurs, they've won nothing. So they're desperate. They will, as G says...
Well, the whole team. Has anybody in the Spurs team won anything?
Yeah. You know, so they will do what they have to do. If he says to them, listen, stick with what I'm saying. I know you might not understand being defensive sometimes, but this is the way to win. This is how I've won in the past. They'll put up with it. Whereas Man United, there's still that thing at Man United where it's slightly different in that even if some of those players have won stuff before, there's still that, you know, that...
We're Man United.
Well, there's the spectre of Ferguson being there as well. And it's like, well, this is not how Sir Alex did it. Do you know what I mean? And Ferguson was this and Ferguson was that. And I think that there's... And then you've got players like Pogba or whatever who has won stuff at Juventus. So I don't think that those... And he fell foul of the players at Real Madrid as well because they didn't like... Some of his kind of...
I'm going to come to Madrid in a second, but I wanted to ask Marvin, if you agree with G that he hasn't had some kind of epiphany moment and decided to change and, you know, modernise his style of management, if you agree with that, what's the difference between Jose at your club and the Jose that Spurs have got?
Well, I think he said it in the documentary, didn't he? He said that that Spurs had better players, right? Which I don't think overall is the key. I think Spurs have a few players that are a lot better than what we have at United. And I think Daniel Levy's given him the keys to just say, go and then like bring in the staff, do what you want to do. And, you know, my palace is your palace sort of thing. Whereas I still think at United, there's still a hierarchy. There's still lots of pundits that have an opinion. I mean, there's not a Spurs pundit that can string a sentence together, really. So he's got less in regards to both the media and the sheer size of the club. I think Spurs, actually looking back at it, was the perfect fit, right? Poch had just run out of steam. He'd run out of steam. He'd got them to the Champions League final and everything just fell off after that. And people just sort of said, well, if he can get us to the Champions League final, what the hell is he doing now? So it was almost like all Jose had to come in and do is steady the ship, right? Because they were in free fall and build on it. There's no mucking around. COVID worked in Jose's favour as well, right? He got Kane back, he got Son back, and they've just carried on that momentum. It's almost like if you look at trajectories, Arsenal, since COVID's been on the way down and Spurs have been on the way up, right? So I think the circumstance worked for him. I think United is almost too big a job for a Jose that's coming to the end of his footballing managing career, right? I think the next step after Spurs is probably going to be managing Portugal or something like that, right? Unless he wins something. So I just think it was too big an oil tanker to move. But credit to him, because I laughed when Spurs hired him to an extent, because Spurs fans didn't really fancy it, did they? I think they were looking at what he did at United and thought, yeah, this guy's not for us. So he's done well. He's done a great PR job overall. And George, you mentioned it. I think you really hit the nail on the head when you talk about he's smiling, he's shaved. And I don't think it's any coincidence that he was sort of front and centre of that Spurs documentary, right? This is his last hurrah to sort of reimagine himself, because I think the special one to everyone else had lost his way, right? He'd just become some disgruntled, moany, whiny, sort of senile old man.
This is his Rumble in the Jungle, Marv.
Yeah, this is it. And look, the fans want to see it, right? Just like we wanted to see that. So, you know what? Credit to him. And like, it's funny. The thing about Jose is no one can criticize his pedigree. Regardless of what he did at United and how that flopped, the man wins stuff. And Spurs of what?
Let me hold that point, Marvin. People say he wins stuff. He's a trophy pig. Wherever he goes, he wins trophies. And that technically is true. Everywhere he's been, he's won a trophy. But I genuinely, and I think a lot of people, I wonder if you, Marvin, and G, I genuinely thought this guy at the top level, he ain't winning no more Prems or Champions Leagues. He might win a little League Cup, an FA Cup, maybe a Europa League, but he's done. He's done for winning the big trophy.
George, the thing is, right, to that point, it's context. Because Spurs would bite your hand off for an FA Cup.
Of course. But I'm asking, in terms of a top level manager.
Yeah, I think he has. Okay. I think the thing about Spurs, to get Spurs to, like, I don't know, Champions League glory or Prem glory, I'd kind of disagree with Ollie. I don't think Gareth Bale's enough, right? And like, let me tell you, I've put him in my fantasy team, but Eric Dier is still an accident waiting to happen. Right? And I put him in there because he's cheap, FYI, and I'm in dire straits. But the bottom line is, I don't know if... I think Spurs are probably two good players from going to the next level to support Kane. And it's really hard with Spurs and Kane, right? Because he's such an integral striker, such an excellent player. It's hard to find a backup for him that's willing to shut up and sit on the bench, but can do the business if he gets injured. It's such a hard
thing. I don't fully buy into that argument, Marv.
Do you not? Because The thing is, you know what? I actually think the perfect Kane backup is actually Giroud. I think he'd be great for Spurs to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
But I don't really know the guy you brought in. I've seen him score a couple of Europa goals, Vinicius or whatever he's done. But I think, in answer to your question, is he done at the top? Probably. But if you gave him another 100 million to spend on a couple of players at Spurs, based on what we're seeing and the fact that anyone can get it in the Prem, George. And I know we say it all the time and people laugh, right? Anyone can get it, right? Like, Fulham were a Kamara accident away from 3 points, right? They could have got 3 points. Mm. City are drawing 1-0, I think. G just collected earlier on today by Wolves. Anybody can get it, right? And I think we said it with the topsy-turvy league. So if you put a couple of really good players in there, and if it's not Gareth Bale, someone else to be the front three that Ollie's talking about, right? And then a good centre-back alongside Alderweireld, then you got a chance. Lloris probably needs replacing as well, if I'm honest. But you got. I think Reguilon, if you compare him to Telles, I think Spurs got the better side of the deal, right? We probably should have taken Reguilon. And then, I think the commentator said it in the Palace game, right? Like, Ori is actually playing all right because he's got Doherty.
That is the biggest sign for me that he's doing a really good job at Spurs.
And the thing is, George,
he's looking decent, Ori.
He didn't rate Ori at all. He didn't rate him at all. And out of nowhere, he's playing decent football. So it's fine lines. Is he done out here? Yes. Couple of 100 million, couple of good signings, anything could happen.
How can he be done if they're top of the league? How can he be done? I know we've only played 12 games, Marv.
If you were 12 points clear,
then you could be talking this
top. No, I get that, Marv. When I say top of the league, I don't mean it in the sense of we're top. I mean in the sense that nobody thought Mourinho would get anywhere near where they are now.
Agree.
A lot of people thought that we would be padding around in, like, you know, sixth, seventh, and people would be like, you know, Mourinho finished. That narrative... That narrative would be able to continue. The Mourinho is finished. He's yesterday's man. Blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of the mediocrity, the media elite who are out there who have written Jose off. And Jordan's put his hand up. You know, this is not, he's not.
Whoa, but hold on. Jordan put his hand up. He's media elite here. Let's have it right.
But you know, the fact is that they. Mourinho is supposed to be yesterday's man. And, you know, Gabe was saying, oh, well, we haven't really seen any change from Mourinho. He's got a whole new backroom staff for him. The guy Sacramento's from Lille. It's not the same Rui Ferreira who used to be at Chelsea.
So let me ask you, Ollie, do you think that after he got sacked to United, he went away and thought, listen, if I'm going to win another trophy, I've got to change the way I do things. The way I did things 10 years ago at Inter, Chelsea and Real Madrid, that ain't working no more. Do you think he did that, or do you just think the football's come back round to him this season?
I don't think football's come back round. I think that the same things still apply that won Jose titles in the past. As I said to you earlier, you need to have a good defence. And I'm sorry, but every single guy who's won a title, who won the Prem, has had a solid defence. Even Leicester had a solid defence. Leicester won a title with a solid defence, and they played on the counter-attack to Jamie Vardy. Liverpool had a solid defence last season. You tell me a team that doesn't win the title with a solid defence. Mourinho.
Let me ask you, Ollie. If there was no COVID and there were fans in the ground, okay, and there was no COVID, so it was a normal season, do you believe Jose plays this style of football?
I think it would be difficult for Jose, and this is where it has helped him. COVID has helped him in the fact that if you had Spurs fans, 60,000 Spurs fans at, you know, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium watching their side play and play a game where they're basically letting the opposition have the ball, I don't think that can't fly. That wouldn't have worked. They would have been putting pressure on the team. As far as I'm concerned, this Mourinho thing has been perfect for him because he's been able to get his ideas across and to get the team playing in the way he wants without the irritation of the fans putting pressure on the team and telling them to push forward. The fact is that the fans are in the stadium. They would never be able to play the way they've been playing. Now the fans have seen that the results are coming by playing that way. They might have a different viewpoint. But, you know, as Marv said before, there's many, many Spurs fans who, when Mourinho was appointed, thought, we don't want this guy, and they weren't prepared to give him a chance. Now they see the team are doing reasonably well and they're competing. But the football isn't always fantastic. They're prepared to put up with it. But if it wasn't for COVID, I think there would have been real problems. So yeah, COVID has allowed him to get his ideas across to the players and to do it without the fans putting pressure on the team. And also, yeah, you know, I would say that maybe there is a question mark with Spurs. You know, going to Stamford Bridge, yeah? Stamford Bridge is a graveyard for Tottenham. It has been for years. But the thing is, we've gone there, we've got that game out of the way now, and we didn't have to face the Chelsea fans. That's a place where it's a difficult place for Spurs to go. That can't be bad. To go to Chelsea and get that game out of the way, to go to Man United, another place that's been a graveyard for Spurs, and get that game out of the way without any fans there. Huh?
10 men.
Yeah, 10 men. But the thing is, what I will agree with you there, Marv, is that I would say that imagine this scenario. United go a goal up after, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that place would have been bouncing with 80,000 fans in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Spurs players may well have shrunk into their shells and thought, leave it out.
I'm not
they
sure.
They might have found it difficult. It might have been difficult to come back in the way that they did.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what?
And you're shaking your head, Jordan. But I tell you what, the Crystal Palace fans on Saturday made a difference. 2,000 Crystal Palace fans were putting pressure on the referee to give them decisions, even though the referee, I thought, in the first half was having a good game. But the Palace fans, they were moaning about every decision he was making for Spurs when they were good decisions he was making. They made a difference, Jordan. If you don't think fans make a difference, you ain't been...
Jordan doesn't cheer when he goes to the game.
Shut up. I think they make a difference, but I think United are just a crap team.
It doesn't have anything to do with it.
Of course it does. If they're a crap team, go 1-0 down. You can't tell me that Spurs are out of it.
Jordan, if United, a game where you're going into this game, right, and you know it's a big game, and you get a goal after 30 seconds at home, that's going to make a difference. Just as the same way, if we go to Stamford Bridge and we go behind in the first 5 minutes, you're going to be thinking,
terrible. You could be right. We'll never know. But I didn't buy into the whole, if they had 11 men, it would have been a different game. I didn't.
You know what, Jordan? No one's asking you what you think, mate. Because for you to sit there and talk about crap teams when your team is getting packed out.
Why is it binary? Why is it either or? Why can't we both be crap?
No. Because there's always levels to crap, right? There's always levels to crap.
Not in my head.
So I'm not having it. Crap. I had to walk away to just calm down. Arsenal fans talking that shit just annoys me, right? But one point I'd make to disagree with G's point is, I think Kane and Son will follow Jose to the ends of the earth at the moment.
I agree.
They start dropping points.
At the moment, I think they will. No,
but even Son, I think Son is just one of those professionals who is a bit like Yuji in regards to he was playing football before, looks at Jose as some sort of messiah. And I think he will do exactly what Jose tells him to do, even if they're losing. Kane's a different story because I've got the feeling, and I think we've discussed it before, that how long does Kane wait to win at some silverware of standing? Or is he going to be like that Alan Shearer type character that is loved by the fans, but at the end of the day has like one, well, at least Shearer got a prem out of Blackburn, didn't he? And I think it's one of those things where I think Kane has enough people around him to know that if they can't get it done this year, based on his age and his injury record, if someone else, someone who is a bigger club, no offence, Olds, but there's several of them out there compared to Spurs, then like he can go there and get a trophy. So I'm not sure if Jose's worry is whether when the results don't go the way, whether the players are going to start murmuring. I think his real fear is just injuries to the key two. I think if you keep those fit, and to Ole's point, you get Bale in the mix, right? And Ndombele, I thought he was done. He looks like a player rebirth. Sissoko's always going to give you a steady 6 out of 10. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't think that's Jose's worry. I think the same worry he had last season is keeping those guys fit.
Can I quickly take you up on two things, though, Marv? One, I'd like to ask you why you don't think Bale can be the difference if he comes big in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Two, the Dier thing. I'm sorry, but with Dier, anyone can look good when you've got six players at the back. Yeah? Anyone. That's the thing with Dier. I'm just saying, Dier has not improved. Dier's still shit. Yeah? But Mourinho's looked at him and he's looked at Aurier and thought, if I'm going to play you guys, I need to give you some protection.
Strength in numbers.
I'll tell you what I told Jude. There's levels to shit, right? Because even from the documentary, right, after he blew smoke out of Dyer's ass, right, he said that summed him at halftime when the wheels fell off. When that stuff happens, a player's going to speak to his agent and going to speak to his mates and go, maybe it's time to go, right? He's gone from that guy not getting that England to starting for England, not looking great, but looking decent, right? First point. And then in my response to the Bale thing, Do you know what, Oz? This is one of those times where I'll admit that I'm kind of listening to the media hype, right? And I'm kind of comparing Bell to myself in regards to I've been in jobs where I've been coasting and I haven't liked the job, but they can't get rid of me. And when you're in that sort of point, whether you take getting a new job, you kind of get into that mix of, can I get myself back? And you hear the stories about golf and about him just like really taking the foot off the pedal. And I agree with you and Jord that maybe I think Jose is saving him. But right now, we haven't seen much of Gareth Bell, even when he's come off the bench. And in fact, I've looked, I think he missed, I can't remember where he missed a good opportunity. But I was,
West Ham.
I was thinking to myself, has he just gone too far now of not caring, where it's hard to just pull himself back, both mentally and physically, right? Because I think one of the things about Bale is he had electric pace, right? Which is, you know, for every footballer goes over, it fades over time, right? So I'm not saying he's I'm not saying he's done, Oles, but I'm saying whether I'd put all my eggs in the Bale basket, I don't think so, right? And I also think one of the things are you're getting a lot out of players that I didn't really rate, right? Like Lo Celso, I didn't really think he was anything special. We've already talked about Aurier. So it's one of those things where those people who, to me, are 6 out of 10 players, if he can keep getting the 7.5, 8 out of 10s for the duration of the season, then absolutely you've got a chance. But, you know, it's a long stretch. I mean, you tell me, if you're going to tell me that you see something in Bell, or you've seen something in Bell so far that gives you the confidence that he can be the difference maker in on the home stretch of the season, then I'll take your point, because I haven't seen much of him, but there is a chance that he just might have been in coastland too long. Do you know what I mean?
Let me ask G. If he wins the Premier League with Spurs, yep, where do you rank him in the greatest managers?
I mean, I don't think it really changes, to be honest with you. I see the point you're trying to make. You're trying to like almost throw a shot, and you haven't said it, so I'm going to say it for you. What you're saying is Tottenham have fell so far that it's almost a miracle to get them to win the league.
Yeah, right. I addressed it well.
You didn't answer the question. What he asked you is where do you put him? Like,
no, I'm saying it doesn't change. He's one of the best managers in modern football, and I think it will stay that way. I don't think he's going to... I mean, if he was to go over and win back-to-back leagues with Tottenham and win a Champions League, then you could say it elevates him. You could say he's back at that prime. I think he was one of the best in the 2000s. I still think his time has kind of gone. But I think he could kind of
win... Even if he wins a Prem with Spurs.
Ranieri won a Prem with Leicester.
It's true.
Like, sometimes strange things do happen. It would.
Oh, no, you're shooting now.
You guys, right?
So yeah, I see this. Like I said, I think we've all said that. I see the season as a bit of an anomaly that's kind of played into his hands. But I haven't seen any change. So there's nothing. I'd think in this type of circumstance, it's not beyond Jose to win a league. So he'd need to kind of do something that would be beyond him for me to kind of escalate him to a higher level. So no, I don't think it wouldn't change anything in terms of how I saw him. Apart from it definitely takes away some of the Chelsea affinity if you go and win the league for Spurs.
But you know what? I think Ollie said it right. Like, let's not pull any punches. They've got a lot of big games out of the way, right? Like, a lot of the other teams still have to... I mean, we're playing Liverpool on New Year's Day, right?
Why are you including yourself in that, Marv? You're not...
Yeah,
you're not
thinking that. That's a bit of a stretch.
Hold on a minute. We'll let G finish that sentence. Why are you including yourself? It's not like...
In this type of, like, title conversation, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. United aren't, isn't it?
You know what? I wasn't even thinking like that. I was just saying big teams as in Liverpool are in the hunt, right?
Okay. But then they'll play you and beat you easily, though, right? It's not a tough game for them.
I don't, you know what? This is the signs of topsy-turvy seasons, right? Jordan's Mac, he's 15. You literally just got packed out an hour ago, and still you're throwing shit at me. Like, Like, it makes no sense. Like, George, I've got to be honest with you, yeah? If you had wrapped up the pod based on everything me and Ol said on the first pod of you disappearing when Arsenal were shit, I would have said this makes total sense because I don't think you've been shitter since we started the pod. So the fact that you're still doing it is something.
And I'm a football fan.
Gee, let me tell you, if you're in the race, we're in the race. Simple as that.
No way.
G, you want to take yourself out? I'm more than happy to take myself out as well. Because I don't think
Marv, if you were 3 points ahead of us, I would still say we're in the race and you're not in the race.
Well, okay, you're 2 points ahead of us and we've got two games in hand. So see how it plays out.
But
as far as I'm concerned, if you're in the race, we're in the race. Now, I don't think we're in the race. So I'm happy for you to tell me that you're not in the race. But unless that's the case, I want you to shut your mouth. Simple.
No, we're in the race. We're in the race.
You're not in the fucking race. You're not.
We're not that race.
Anyway, how much?
If you're in the race, I'll be the race.
How much of a factor do you think London is in how well Jose's doing?
Who are you asking?
Anyone.
It's a good question. Like, his family's here. He never moved them when he went up to United and people moaned. I mean, I don't know how a man can live in a hotel for that long. Like, I love being in the hotel. I love not making my bed, but sometimes you want to see something else, right? Especially in Manchester. It's not like you're looking out the window to get great views.
I can understand if you hate your wife.
but to have his home comforts, to have his family close, and like, if you look past the football for a second and look at Jose as a man, like everybody, unless you've got an annoying wife, to Ollie's point, everybody likes their family around them. They like that base. They like that to home. So I think it's definitely helped the circumstance. And I think it comes back to what we said earlier, that Spurs are a perfect project for him. They've got a great stadium and training facilities, new ground. They were in dire straits. They got a world-class centre-forward in Harry Kane. So lots of things ticked the right box to the point where people were like, well, why go as low as Jose? But they've done a great job and he's done a great job as well. So I think it really helps, right? It really helps London.
Ollie, how much do you think people like me writing him off, how much do you think he cared, about people like me in the media and fans really sticking the knives in? Do you think that got to him?
Oh, that's driving him. That is driving him, absolutely driving him right now. He can't wait. If he can get a trophy in his hand, he can't wait. I'm telling you, the first press conference he gives, he's going to say, all them people who said, I was finished, I've got another title in my hand. You know he's waiting to say that. If he can 100%. Say...
He's written scripts. It's been written, isn't it? The script's been written, isn't it?
Of course. I think that's driving him. I think that's definitely driving him to prove everyone wrong.
And not just you, Jude, but all us United fans as well who have been saying he's finished, like, we got...
Good luck. You're welcome to me
in office.
Yeah, and Ed Woodward. He'd love to show that to Ed Woodward. He'd love to show that to him. All of them people who wrote him off, he would enjoy that. But there is something to be said. You know, I know you were having your little joke with G about, you know, if Mourinho can get Spurs to win a title. If Mourinho can get Spurs to win a title after, 60-odd years, I'm sorry, but that is incredible. If he never does another thing again, that will probably be his biggest achievement.
But what number?
I don't care what any of you say.
Above the Champions League at Porto.
Good.
I think so. Because he will look at it and say, you know, I'm up against Man City, I'm up against Chelsea. The Champions League, as you well know, G, Spurs got to the Champions League final. You know, anyone can get to it. It's a cup competition.
What was Jude's question? Jude, was your question...
It's a cup competition,
Jude, was your question that where would he be in managers across the globe, like Europe, or are we talking about Prem?
Both.
Because for me, if he wins it with Spurs, then he cements his position as the second best Premier League manager ever, right? Behind Sir Alex, if he wins it with Spurs, right? I think it's contestable between him and Wenger at the moment, although I'd probably still put him above Wenger, right?
Yeah, but he's there already though, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Good G.
There's too many good managers, but I think G's right. He's, and sort of on the world stage, he's up there already. I think the Spurs one puts him into the conversation of the top three. But you know, I've got a certain love for
who are the other two? Who are the other two?
Well, for me, I think Ancelotti's record can't be knocked, right? He's gone to other leagues and done it. I'm a big, big fan of what he's done, particularly when he did it at Milan in my younger years. Other than him, I forgot his name, the guy at Bayern who got packed out by us in the Champions League final.
Jupp Heynckes.
No. That's not his name, is it?
Nah, who am I thinking of?
Just something else. But whoever he is, he was...
No, Jupp Heynckes was us. We beat...
Yeah. Failed. I feel like it begins with an H. I feel like it begins with an H.
It's failed.
Yeah. So I think he's up there. But one of the things I will say, George, is sometimes I don't think we give managers that win the Champions League enough credit, right? And the fact that Jose's done it with a few clubs, I think... is remarkable, and even Sir Alex can't boast that, because I think sometimes you don't give people enough credit for really reimagining a team, right? And you, the likes of Porto and Inter Milan, before Jose turned up, they weren't saying anything. So I think he needs a lot of credit for that. And arguably, if he wins it with Spurs, same again, they weren't saying anything either.
That's why I think winning a title with Spurs counts for twice, because it's Spurs. You know what I mean? That's why
I agree with you, but there's a certain level of arrogance coming from you with no foundation based on the situation. And I can't, it's the same thing I said to Ollie. If G or Ollie says that to me, I understand. But you saying it is a bit, is just a bit weird. But I take your point. I don't mean to be immature about it. I take your point.
Ollie, what's Jose's approach now like with media? Because we know he's had his good times with the media, bad times with the media. Since he's been at Spurs, have you seen a different approach in how he does presses? He's got an Instagram account now. Do you think that has changed?
Good balance on that account.
It's not bad. Do you think any of his outwardly focused media engagement has changed and is playing a role in how he's getting Spurs to do well?
Yeah, I mean, I think Marv touched on it earlier, and I think that whole thing with the Amazon documentary, I mean, that was the Jose show. That was the Jose back on the road show, wasn't it? That was a rehabilitation for Mourinho, wasn't it? It was almost like Levy said, listen, we got this thing coming up. Poch didn't fancy it at all. Yeah. We really need someone we need someone to light this up, because otherwise...
And he got the best person in football as well. It's going to be a
stinking pile of shit.
He got the best person in football.
Because we haven't got any characters at this club. None of the players are characters. Harry's a lovely lad, yeah, but Harry, he can't really drive this for us. You know what I mean? We need someone to carry... Please, Jose, please, for fuck's sake. I think it was part of the contract. Seriously,
I do, I agree.
Jose, I don't care what you do on the pitch, yeah? Just do this out of the
I think he cared what they did on the pitch, right? Like,
I'm not sure. Listen, Marv, you need to understand, yeah? You need to understand. They got this stadium, yeah? They want to make themselves a global concern, right? They got Mourinho in. They're thinking, we need to get a manager, man. We need to get a name. We need to get someone who's gonna help us shift units. You know what I mean? I don't care what you say. Mourinho, his first press conference at Spurs was packed out. People were standing outside. They couldn't get enough people in the room. You know, this is what you're talking about.
Let me be clear. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, apart from you saying they don't care what he does on the pitch.
They can't care.
Oh, let me tell
Marv,
you. Yeah.
Marv, Oz, they can't care.
He might have given you box office, yeah? But if you start getting packed out right now,
Yeah, but Miles, they've spent the last 60 years going on about the double winning team, right? And all the football that they used to play and all the rest of it, right?
Maradona
thrown it out the window. They've turned around and said, listen, we don't care anymore, yeah? We need to get Mourinho in. We don't care what the football's like, yeah? Just do what you've got to do, Mourinho. Just do what you've got to do, yeah? Just get us back up the league. Get us in the Champions League. Throw us some gold dust. Throw us some gold dust and make us popular around the world. Do something, yeah? The football has been put to one side. We had 5 years of trying to do it the Poch way, right? And win friends and everyone think, oh, yeah, I love Spurs. I'm not a Spurs fan, but I like them. I like the way they play football. Now, it's like, when I'm looking at these blogs and I look at people or comments in The Guardian or wherever it might be, and the amount of people, when we got Mourinho, it's like, I used to like Spurs, but I hate them. you got Mourinho. I hate him. I hate him and I hate Spurs because they got him. The whole mood has changed. Now Spurs are a team everyone hates. Everyone loved us under Poch. Now they hate us. That's what I'm talking about. You need to understand this, Mark. There's a big game being played here, man. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Ollie, how long are you prepared to put up with the brand of football that he's offering up?
I told you already, Jordan.
As long as he wins.
I told you already, Jordan. Most Spurs fans, me included, will put up with whatever it takes. If we win a title, I would turn around and say, that guy, I don't care what he does, he can do what he likes. He can do what he likes. If he can keep us at the top of the league and we win a title, I don't care, Jordan. I really don't care. Nothing else has worked. And the thing is as well, Jordan, what you got to understand as well, right? This is the important thing. The funny thing about it is, you can't... Spurs, a team with Tottenham's kind of, financial clout, can you really countenance winning the league, playing free-flowing football, playing football the Poch way, playing the kind of football in the Tottenham style? Can you really win? If you think about it seriously, right, Mourinho's way of playing, as G called it earlier, playing like a small team or whatever, that way of playing probably matches the level of financial clout that Spurs have got. We should not be thinking we can go toe to toe with Man City, Man United, Chelsea, even Arsenal to some extent. None of them teams, right? None of them teams.
What? Because of financial outlay?
Yes, because they, you can be spending the kind of money you spent, right? You even Arsenal spent £70 million on Pepe, £50 million on Aubameyang, £50 million on Lacazette, right? We can't spend that kind of money. If we spend that kind of money on Ndombele, that's a big deal for Spurs. We can't spend that kind of money. So, the kind of football that Mourinho's playing is in keeping with the level of financial clout that Spurs have got. So Spurs are in a position where, Poch, let's think about it, right? Back in 2016, when Poch was going up against Leicester, what if Poch wanted to do it his way and play the football, right? Who won the league? Leicester won the league. Leicester won the league because Ranieri looked at it and thought, we're going to play the small team way. We're going to have a solid defence. We're going to counter-attack. And they won the league. And this is the thing. Spurs get caught up in this whole thing about, we've got to play the Tottenham way. The Tottenham way ain't won them nothing. It hasn't won a thing.
So do you prioritise winning a trophy over moments of enjoyment?
Right now, Jordan, for Spurs, it's got to be about winning stuff because it can't be any more about playing the Tottenham way and saying, we're just here to, we don't care if we lose 4-3. Well, I do. I'm bored of that now. I want to actually win stuff.
So just to wrap, let's say you win the title this year, Ollie. In year two, next season, do you, having seen it work the previous year, do you accept that brand of football?
I don't even accept it. In my heart of hearts, George, I don't really even accept it now. I didn't accept it at Crystal Palace the other day. I didn't accept it.
See, I find that interesting.
I didn't accept it at Stamford Bridge the other week.
Tell me why.
I got to tell you, at Stamford Bridge the other week, I was pissed. I was pissed, George, because I thought there was a really good game there in the first half, where Roy Keane said, I'm really enjoying this game. It's really good. There's no goals, but these are two teams who are defending well, and you know, they basically, there's a threat in both sides, has got a threat going forward. In the second half, there's only one team trying to win the game. The other Spurs were just happy to sit back and play and basically play for the draw. And I wasn't happy with that, Joel, because I thought there was a chance to win that game. But we stopped playing in the second half and we were just happy to play for a draw.
So when you say even this year with no trophy at this stage, you're not happy with the brand of football, is that because you still value enjoying watching your team play ball?
I like to see my team go for the win. I like to see my team try and win the game. I don't like to watch a team waiting for the other team to hand them the game. I want to see them try and win it.
But this year, the 3 points, it trumps that.
Sorry?
But this year, getting the 3 points trumps that.
Listen, as we've all said before, right, this all works as long as you're getting results. The minute you stop getting results, people are going to...
You're a fan. I want to know what you think. As a fan, do you prioritise the win alongside good football? Or would you take dry 1-0s, awful 1-0s all season, but brings you a prem?
I would say that, yeah, that's what I'm saying, Jordan. I'm saying that if they win, you can't argue with the guy if he's getting results. If he's winning 1-0 every week, or they're winning games, getting 3 points more often than not, how can you argue with that? You can't argue with that.
But United fans did, because United fans would say, we didn't want him because he was winning some games, but the football was effing, was dire. Now, they're a bigger club, so maybe that's the rationale
United,
behind it.
United weren't top, though, were they? United weren't top.
Would you take this brand of football and like a top four finish in an FA Cup?
This season?
Yeah.
I would take a top four. Listen, at the start of this, before the season started, no one was thinking Spurs were going to finish in the top four. Spurs weren't even in the conversation. Let's be honest.
To be honest with you, I still wouldn't rule out them finishing outside of the top four.
It might happen because, you know, we...
And my biggest issue with... To be honest, this is one of the pods where I've agreed with 90% of what you've said. But my biggest issue is just how much of a stake you're putting on being top right now. Like, we're talking about... there's 5 points between first and ninth.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that, Marv. I even gave you a feel earlier. And that's beyond ridiculous. I gave you a feel earlier and I said to you, yeah, you know, even Man United could be in it.
So, yeah, I shook my head. But
so I can't say more than that, Marv. I said, no, you know, it's all so close at the moment that anyone could... Listen, Leicester could go top next tomorrow night. Yeah. If Liverpool and Spurs play out a draw, Leicester could go top. You know,
yeah, so, and the thing is, like, I can't even bet on games anymore because it's that mad. But I think one of the things that I would say, Jord, is you look at the Spurs team right now. I think I hate to keep going back to the documentary, but Jose made constant points about them being dogged and assholes and doing the little niggly fouls and doing the little... You saw it with, I think it was Lamella and Martial, and you can see it now. And I think he's combining his brand of football with them just being people with less integrity. It's the wrong way, but they've got integrity, but just being a bit more like the other teams who have got through and won the league. So I think bringing it all together, what you're going to have is a players that truly believe in the Jose message. And to Ollie's point, not having the fans to get on the back when the football is shit, because just as the Palace fans got Palace back into that game this week, I think the... if Ollie and other Spurs fans were in the crowd, they would have been really annoyed that Spurs weren't going for the jugular at 1-0 up, right? So I think it's a perfect storm for him right now. And you kind of got...
How much do you think he cares, Marvin? I take Ollie's point that the fans, you know, wouldn't accept it, they'd make it known. But I wonder if he's that stubborn. I wonder how much he would care.
No, but it's not about whether he cares, right?
And would he then conform to what the fans...
Well, no, I think at the end of the day, when it comes to the fans, as much as the manager can tinker and make substitutes, it's almost the mental attitude of the players, right? For me, if, you know, whether Jose's on a touchline or not, whether he cares or not, at 1-0 down, if the Spurs fans aren't going, get up there, get involved, right? I think the Spurs, I think there would be a temptation of players on the pitch to try and get up there and give their away fans another goal, right? Without that, you've only got one voice, and that's Jose's on the touchline. And just like keep it simple. But I agree with Ollie. Like, I'm really surprised, even with the Jose brand of football, that they didn't go for the second, because you could see Palace getting into it. Zaha was getting the ball more. Eze, who I think you called out, Jude, as one to watch for the future, he was definitely doing bits, right? And even when Andros Townsend came on, he looked half decent, right? Which was a surprise to me. So I think, you know, overall, there's a combination that's working for Jose. And I think he'll definitely care if fans get back into the stadium and they're not winning, it's 0-0 and it's dire football, and they're asking the manager to get the team to play a different style of football.
I'm going to wrap by just asking you guys.
The players will always, as you say, Marv, the players will always play a part in that as well, because they don't want the fans on their back.
No.
So if fans start giving them grief, they're going to turn around and say to the manager, look, come on, man, you know what I mean? And, you know, this is, it's a problem, Jude. And this is, as I say, this is a problem that will rear its head with Mourinho. It's happened already this season. You know, Crystal Palace was one instance of it. Chelsea in that second half was another. Yeah. And let's not forget, it's been forgotten about now, you know, because Spurs have kicked on from there. But let's not forget what happened against West Ham. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
West Ham was exactly the same thing. We were 3-0 up and coasting, and then they've just sat back and just said, go on, West Ham, you just have the ball. Have the ball, have the ball. And West Ham, to be fair to West Ham never stopped trying. They never, even with 10 minutes to go, when most teams would have just said, this game's done. We can't get back in this. West Ham kept going and they got that one goal. And from the minute they got that one goal, I was thinking, we're in trouble here. We are in trouble. And not only that, and that is where I would agree with Marv about Bale. Bale came on in that game and it was a terrible decision because he was nowhere near fit. And the minute he came on, I was like, why is he making this substitution? And he brought off Son. He gave us, left us with no output, you know, outlet up front. So West Ham were just like, we'll just push on then. We've got no one who can get in behind us. Bale's half fit.
That's my point about Bale, right?
These are the things that are going to be a problem for Mourinho, because if you keep doing that, even though they're doing reasonably well now, if you keep doing that and keep losing games, losing 2 points here, losing 2 points there, and then maybe even losing a game, that's where the problems will start.
Yeah.
I'm going to just wrap, guys, by asking you all, none of you sound confident Spurs are going to win the title, but Marv, do you think Spurs get top four?
Yeah, Spurs get top four, I think.
G?
Yeah, 100%.
Ollie, are you confident that top four will be the minimum?
Yeah, I'm in the top four, yeah.
We're
definitely more confident of them getting top four than
Yeah. Full of laughs and jokes. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Who's your next game after Liverpool, Ollie?
Leicester.
Ooh.
Leicester at home. Then Wolves away, I think. This run of games keeps going, man. It keeps going. Leicester at home. It's after Liverpool.
Okay, all right, we'll see how it pans out. Like I said at the start, I'm prepared to... I haven't quite changed my mind on Jose yet, but, boy, he's trying a little ting and making me look silly at the moment, so fair play. Subscribe to the ting. We are across all the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff, socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, we leave a comment, leave a ratings, leave a question, disagree with the guys, you know what to do, let us know. Till next time, see you next time. Peace.